You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
It certainly is. He did not join us in studio this week, but he joined me on the phone. We discussed the family court and calls for a royal inquiry into the family court system in New Zealand, because it's pretty fucked.
Is it?
It is. Okay. Yeah. It is. But there's actually a ministerial inquiry, so it's sort of, you know, I don't know what the big difference is between a royal inquiry and a ministerial one. I think it's maybe more neutral.
I would assume royal focused. Has to be better, surely.
Well, yeah. I think it's more expensive too. So, you know. And also we spoke about the upcoming cannabis referendum. Here is Andrew.
The UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women has recommended a royal inquiry into the family court system. You've said this isn't needed. How come?
We're doing a review of the family court because we know the changes that came in 2014 just simply have not worked. And we know there are issues, and you know, organisations like the Backbone Collective, speaking on behalf of women, have made it very clear from the surveys they've conducted, the research they've done, a lot of women don't feel they're being heard in the court or being treated respectfully, and I certainly accept that. Equally, we're hearing from organisations like Fathers for Justice that a lot of men are being, as they would describe it, unnecessarily deprived of the opportunity to continue to participate in the parenting of their children, and we've got to deal with that issue. And then, of course, the other issue, which is very important to men and to this government, is, of course, the fact that children, the way they are being dealt with by the court, is they are facing ever lengthy delays in getting their care arrangements sorted. A lot of children are saying that they don't feel as if they're being heard, and sometimes the council appointed to represent them don't seem to be advocating the issues that they wish to see advocated. So there's a whole heap of things going on. I'm totally satisfied with and confident with the that the review group we've set up will be dealing with all of those issues and will come up with a set of recommendations on changes that we need to deal with all those issues.
And I suppose this is quite a broad review, and there is a chance that maybe how women are treated in the family court won't get the focus it needs. Are you going to ensure that it sort of does?
Yeah, because in addition to, look, we've got a three-person review group and like I said all along, that I want a human rights perspective taken on the review, and I think when we announce the group doing the review, you'll see that we very much will have that. That group will be supported by another expert advisory group that will have, or one of the people on it is a specialist in domestic violence, another is a specialist in child development, and there's there's some academics on it and other kind of specialists on it. So I think those issues will be well canvassed. I think one of the arguments put forward for why it should be a royal commission is then you then get to kind of grill the judges and examine the judges. I'm not sure if we're going to get anything out from that we won't hear from people themselves. And if the issue is about the conduct of judges, we'll get good information about what needs to change in that regard, and that group can make some good recommendations about that. The issue about judges across the whole judiciary not being sensitive to the issues of particularly domestic violence, this is known across our judiciary. We have a judicial studies outfit that is meant to be providing education to judges on dealing with those issues. They are doing some of that. They could probably do a lot more. But I think that issue will be covered off with the people who the review group will hear from.
So do you feel currently that the family court system is sort of biased against women, treats them unfairly?
Look, I can't say, only because I hear that and I see some very powerful letters and submissions on that point, but equally I get very powerful letters and submissions from lawyers representing men and from men themselves, you know, detailing their experiences and what has happened to them. But the reality is, I when I get those sorts of letters and representations, I'm hearing from one side of what is often a very difficult argument. So I can't judge that. What I do accept is that the experience of some, and it might be many people, you know, couples going through the family court, is not a pleasant one. And we've got to do what we can to minimise that. And I do wonder whether the removal of the counselling that used to be available to anybody who was going through family court before any proceedings took place has meant that, you know, people don't get the support and the advice and the assistance they need really to prepare themselves for what it means to go through a process like this when you're basically sorting out your life through a court process. And if people don't get proper preparation for that, then I can't imagine it can be anything other than a very fraught experience, which is what seems to be being expressed in the letters I get.
There's also been talk of a special rapporteur on violence against women from the UN. Will you be inviting them to do a review?
I'm not sure it's a question of whether we need to invite them. I think if the committee, Human Rights Committee, or the CEDAW Committee, I think is where that came out from, if they decide to send a rapporteur, as they're entitled to do, then I think we have an obligation to facilitate that and to host them, and of course we would do. Now, look, I don't fear an external organisation coming in and providing their critique. It would be very useful information to have. But we are doing our review. I'm very confident about the scope of the review and the people who will be conducting it, and I'm very confident that all the sorts of issues that have been raised over the last couple of years will be dealt with in that review.
So I suppose other reviews of special rapporteurs, especially on Indigenous rights, the government's been quite, they've allowed them to do the review, but then after it's been published, they've been quite combative in the media. Would you take on any sort of advice and critiques?
Well, you can't. I mean, I can't say, look, whatever they say, we're going to go with it, because we don't know what they're going to say. Mm. What I can say is that, I will take seriously the role of any rapporteur or any external outfit that comes to have a look. We can only benefit from another pair of eyes, if you like, another commentator coming in having a look. What we do with their recommendations is, we need to know what they are first, and it's got to be dealt with in the realm of politics. These decisions about change and changing laws and stuff, at the end, they've got to go through the political mincing machine, and I've got to convince colleagues and so on that there's a timeliness to it and a need for it and all that sort of stuff. So I can't give any of those sorts of guarantees. But certainly what I don't believe in is the kind of human rights groups or institutions that we sign up to internationally. They are there for a purpose, and we should allow them to do their job and be respectful of that process.
Right. Moving on, you've talked about possibly adopting a citizens' jury process to guide public debate on cannabis law reform. Can you talk about this a bit?
Yeah, look, this is a suggestion that's come forward from a number of quarters, actually, and the Green Party has been very keen on this. It's the process, a process that was used in the Irish abortion referendum. I know it's been used in sort of other places for when there've been kind of really serious and potentially contentious policy debates being waged in different parts of the world. This process involves getting a bunch of people. It could be 100 people. I don't quite know the kind of the selection process. And then the idea is that group convenes periodically and they get information from different sides of the argument, different sides of the debate, and then they discuss it amongst themselves and kind of form various views, and you kind of take those views, you publicise those, and I guess the rest of the public gets to see how the debate, how that group of people are responding to the information put before them, and that is a spur to kind of broader public debate. People say it worked very well in Ireland, it's worked very well in other places. I think this is a government that is prepared to kind of look at different ways of getting good public debate on difficult issues, and this is something that I'm keen for us to have a look at.
You said you've been discussing the details of the referendum with New Zealand First and the Greens. Is it still looking like it'll be non-binding?
No, I wouldn't assume anything in that regard. I think, it's possible that if we do a referendum, we'll also have a referendum on euthanasia. Mm. And if we do that, we will have a very fully developed piece of legislation ready to go. You do a binding referendum when you've got the answer sitting there, and it's just a question of people saying, yep, that's right, or no, it's not right. And I think if we're going to do a more liberalisation of cannabis, which is what the clause in the agreement between Labor and the Greens suggests, then actually I think people want to know what that means, what it looks like, what the rules would be. So you want that all pretty clear and transparent out in front. You don't want to just say, oh yeah, this sounds like a good idea, now you go away and do the detail. So I think that this is all stuff we've yet to get signed off between all the parties in government, but look, I wouldn't assume it's not going to be non-binding. For that matter, you can't guarantee it's going to be binding, but that issue is well in discussion.
Where are you sitting on that? Would you like to see it?
I'm going to be a little bit careful about sort of preempting outcomes. My job is to kind of pull it all together, so I don't want to look like I favour kind of any particular outcome or not. I just want to let the internal debates flourish and flow, and then we'll pull together the piece of legislation, and then really what it comes down to, I think, you know, Winston Peters is right. Look, we want New Zealand just to have their say through a referendum. I'm determined that it's one that's going to be based on very good information in the public arena.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.